HKX Mobile.
TW4FCA Morning Sun, love you. How are you? TW4FCMA Morning Sun.
With me there, Sean Fox. Get ready for work on a rainy day.
Get ready, yo. Mother's not up yet, so I can't go in there and get ready. But a little rainy, but it's warm. Mild, isn't it? Birds are screaming.
Pretty warm yesterday. I'm not ready for the spring, are you?
No, but it's here. Grass is green. Birds are screaming, so spring's here. But be careful, they're working. And you by yourself, I assume. No help yet? I'm sorry, you say, am I helping you by yourself today? Give me a 4FCM. I got anyone you got to go to work. Won't keep you, son. Be careful, Oregon. W4FCM.
Have going on today?
Oh, get the trash here when it comes. Get the eggs. That's about it. I have my foot appointment Thursday, my podiatrist, so be praying for that. Still needs to close up yet. So I got one more day for it to close.
I'll pray for that this morning, so I hope that gets better and everything. So, yeah, that sounds good. I'm getting ready to go wide open here, I think, starting in March. It's going to get pretty busy pretty fast, so I got a little bit of a break, but kind of wanted one more time to chill, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. And be careful working by yourself today. I take it you're by yourself, right?
Expensive to have somebody drop my own.
Okay, well, look, glad to hear you. 6 o'clock, I turn on the way, and then you'd be there. KD4FDI, W4FCM, signing. We'll get a shower here.
Jim, KD4FDI. Not sure where you went, but we'll catch you later. W4FCM, KD4FDI.
4DJW Mobile.
Friend Dave, KO4HKX.
Patrick, it's a gloomy day in Greer. How about where you are?
The same, but we're going to make the best of it.
That's true. They can't all be bright sunshine and blue skies.
We need the rain just as like we need the sunshine.
I don't think we're getting what they thought we were going to get. It's just been moist. It hasn't really rained over here in Greer. It's just been, you know, really damp is all. That's all. No rain coming down.
KO4HKX. It's been the same all the way down the mountain this morning. Just enough to aggravate you turning the windshield wipers on and off.
Same thing I was doing on my weekly run to the transfer station.
Able to make any progress on your program you were writing yesterday?
Added to generate everything. Now I'm making it so that, now I'm kind of enhancing it a little bit, rounding off the square corners so that it's easier to select who can hear who. Trying to make the process simpler now. It's working. If you want, I can send you the batch of everybody's files so you can see everybody can see everybody else what their first, second, third, fourth, fifth level of connections are.
I'd really be interested in that. Did you have a chance to check out that YouTube channel I sent you?
No, I got the text message. I opened it up and I've got it for when I do get time to do that. I'll probably be today, but I wanted to get that finished up and get that sent off to Chad in case he didn't have it yet yesterday. So I know people are kind of curious. They want to see that stuff.
I'm curious about it myself, but he's writing a program where he took our call sign database and put it all on there, and then anybody he can get their zip code and see what kind of relation the mileage was and if he can make simplex and all that around him. So it was pretty neat, pretty interesting.
And like what Wyatt does, I don't know if you've seen Wyatt's elevation profile, but it shows you from any location. You can pick your home QTH and you can pick somebody else's, and you can plug in your parameters for your antenna, and it'll generate what looks like cloud coverage. And if there's no clouds, then you have direct line of sight to that other person. If there's cloud coverage, you know, that's like things that get in the way, shadows.
The detail he's got, because he's just releasing little bits of information. He's still in the beta process of building it. But I find it very interesting and want to know more about it.
Stuff, it gets complicated. It gets really complex. But I think what Wire was using is open source. Somebody else created it, but he put it to use in our area, and it's very informative. And I think the way he had it set up is you could plug in your data and see, you know, go right there and see where the shadows were. It was mainly focused on repair, but it could be used at Simplex as well.
For Simplex, and it's all contained on his laptop now. He was doing it for a Raspberry Pi. But he found that wasn't stable enough, so now he was going back to a Linux platform on a Windows or a tablet, and so he's in the works of all of it, and I've been following it, and just kind of interesting in how that's capable, and so you can find the information. But if I remember right, he does use a topographical map where you can see elevation changes and all that.
That's what makes it good. When you can see the map and you can see the elevation profile, that's where you can really start to benefit from it. I was talking to Tyler yesterday, and we couldn't figure out why Daniel and I can hear each other really strong. He can hear Daniel really strong, but we can't hear each other. So we did an elevation profile between us, and there's tons of dirt between us. So no surprise there.
No, there's dirt between you. There's no surprise. You can't make contact.
Not unless there's a mountain or a tall building somewhere you can bounce the signal off of. That's about the only way to get around it. Or a repeater.
You know, I got to thinking about that, what you're talking about there, that line. I know in my house there is a line, a diagonal line through the house and yard that I can walk around with my HT, and as long as I stay on that line, I can make contact with the repeater.
Kinds of things you get enlightened to, right? That's really interesting. That's like on a micro scale versus a macro scale. What we're doing with the SimplexNet is like more of a macro scale, but it works at micro scale as well.
Probably about a foot wide. If I move more than that, then I'm out of it. I lose the repeater completely.
I was telling somebody else a while back, it would be really cool if we could develop something that would look like RF glasses. You put the glasses on, you can see where the RF is. You take the glasses off, you don't see anything.
That'd be pretty neat. I'm sure in some time that'll happen.
Sometime in the future. That's just something that's like the Dick Tracy watch. And we're all walking around with them all now. Well, I don't wear a watch. I got the clock on my phone. But if I wore a watch, it'd be a Dick Tracy watch. You can talk to other people on your watch. It was a dream back then that a lot of people thought never would happen. But here we are today, and it's commonplace.
Yeah, I wear one of those so I don't have to keep my phone attached to me. I can take phone calls, text messages, and that kind of stuff right from my wristwatch, even if I leave my phone at home.
Mike uses those things. I don't like jewelry at all. That's all I can do to keep my wedding band on all the time. That's about the extent of it. I don't like anything hanging off of me.
I've been wearing a watch so long, I've just gotten used to it. But I keep it on my left hand instead of my dominant hand.
I worked with that Michelin that did that. It looked kind of funny. I'd look at him every now and then. I'd tell him, you know, you got that on the wrong hand. He'd just laugh.
Cars, I just learned to keep it out of the way, but keep it close.
Working on cars to bang that into something. But I was glad when cell phones came out and they had a clock in them and I could take my watch off. I always wore one. I always wore it all the time like everybody else because you needed to know. But then when cell phones came out, I said, okay, this is a good reason not to ever have to wear this anymore. Went in the drawer and never came back.
Carry my phone around. It drives me insane.
Inconvenient, too. So one day that'll be a chip and some nanobots that are inside your body, and you won't need that phone anymore. And people, a lot of people say, no, never happened with me, but, yeah. What, how is the Borg said that resistance is futile?
I'm going to be against it, but I'm smart enough to know that not to say that it will never happen.
I learned in France, they've got a saying, jamais dit jamais, never say never, because it will happen. If you, as soon as you say never, that's when it's going to happen. Turning into the transfer station, I'll catch you on the way out if you're still around. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
I should still be here. I'm waiting on my guys to get here. I just backed in. So KO4HKX, and I'll be on the side monitoring.
For DJW Mobile.
4HKX, I'm still sitting here.
Today when I worked at Michelin, I'd get there, and we'd go sit in the break area for 15 or 20 minutes waiting for the shifts to change. Just to make sure if you ever, if you had a breakdown or anything like that, had a flat tire, you had time to get it changed and still get there on time.
Always been one of those, I believe in getting to work at least 15 minutes before you're supposed to be there and getting ready. And that way at 8 o'clock I'm ready to go instead of pulling in at 8:05. But that takes all kinds.
It does. When I was working in Charlotte for about 15 years, I lived the farthest away, and I was there at 7 o'clock every morning. And there are a lot of people come strolling in at 9 o'clock.
And then they're the first out the door, too.
Yeah, I'd be there hollering at the security guard when he came through turning out the lights. Whoa, whoa, not yet. And everybody else is gone.
Yeah, I've been that way my entire life, too, so I guess I'll be that way until it's time to retire if I ever make it there.
Drones in the beehive, the worker bees, the drones.
What's on your agenda today?
Off the sharp corners on that one program, and I'd like to go flying. I keep an eye out for good flying weather every day, but here lately it just hasn't been good flying weather. We went flew those new airplanes, and Steve's turned out to be really good. Mine turns out to have a dead for a motor. So I changed the motor out, so I want to test that. I put another motor on it, and it's a whole lot smoother than the one that was there. The one that was there is binding up and wouldn't fly, wouldn't go very fast. It worked, but they're cheap airplanes, so you got to expect cheap motors to go with it. But that kind of stuff, more programming, and at some point I need to work on one of the hardwood floors. Or call Decker and get them to come out and work on it. It's got stains in it from a long time ago, and I tried to bleach it, but it didn't work.
Planes you're doing, I'm assuming they're kits, and you just put them together?
Those are, yeah. Most of them are that way unless you scratch build. On scratch build, you just cut out all your parts from blank balsa wood and plywood and that kind of stuff. But these are mostly injection molded EPP foam, and not to be confused with styrofoam. EPP is like the rubberized styrofoam, kind of like a pool noodle, except not as rubberized as a pool noodle. It has a little bit more rigidity than a pool noodle, a lot more rigidity, but it doesn't crumble like styrofoam either.
That's the difference there, and I seen Steve's the other day when I was over at his house, the difference in them. So, but I was just, one of our tool suppliers in the area here, we were talking about RC planes and cars yesterday. He asked me if I thought there would be an interest in it for something on the tool truck, and I'm like, yeah, there would be a big interest in it. A lot of guys are into that stuff.
Yeah, they're the kind, if you can work on a car, you can surely work on an airplane, right? They're the same kind of people.
It's mechanically minded. I mean, basically that's what it boils down to.
For mechanics and electronics, there's a lot of electronics on airplanes, especially these days. They're you know, transmitters, receivers, servos, batteries, and even motor for power system, where it used to be nitro, alcohol, nitro, and castor oil. So there's still people that do that, but not that many.
asking me if I thought a battery or gas would be better, and I told him probably battery.
Yeah, and you'll get mixed opinions on that, too. There's people that like the old school nitro stuff. And then there's gliders that are the fastest RC airplanes there are, right, approaching 600 miles an hour, and dynamic soaring up and down the side of a mountain. That don't have any power system whatsoever. They use the wind for power, and they go the fastest.
You talking about that last week, and I was amazed at what you were talking about.
Every day, and when I'm eating lunch, I watch a few YouTube videos on that, and it's just amazing what they've been. I haven't been keeping up with soaring. I had a slope soar one time, but there's just no really good place to do slope soaring around here. You got to have a mountain where the wind is really come, really rush. Like on the West Coast, that Pacific Ocean meets the coast. It hits the coast and goes up, all right, because they've got some really steep cliffs there. Well, they'll go up to those cliffs and, you know, drop their airplane off the cliff, and the wind is coming up so fast they can fly all day long, and they don't need a power system because the wind lifts them up, and they have to dive down to get to keep it from going away in the sky. Not so much here.
Did the Table Rock and do that?
I guess some days it gets windy at Table Rock, but I don't think there's enough days that does that. Plus, where we are, there's woods everywhere. Where they are, I mean, if you go down somewhere and you don't make it back up to the top of the cliff, you can see it from where you are, where it goes down, because there's no trees. Where we are, if it goes down somewhere in the woods, bye-bye airplane. That's the last you're ever going to see of it.
Yeah, that's pretty evident around here. I don't know of anywhere like that either.
Yeah, where there's no trees. Like where Steve is up in South Dakota, they've got really high winds, but it's flat, right? So you can fly free flight out there, which is no control. You just put gas in it, you fire it up, and you launch it. And then you follow it in your car.
Do it probably in March here coming up, where, you know, it's usually pretty windy anyway around the house anyhow. We usually have high winds for the month of March for some reason.
One of the reasons I got a slope sore, but it's all very little activity. I think I finally threw that thing away. It got moved from house to house, to location to location, didn't get used, got holes punched in the wings. I never was going to fix it because I never did fly it, so finally I threw it away.
They were asking me about it yesterday and asking me if I thought that, because they're always looking for ideas and new marketing to this younger generation and to this market, and I told them that would probably be one of them.
Do that at Hamfest too, but it's not usually the high quality stuff. It's usually the, you know, $30, $40, $50 stuff. That, you know, that, like the airplanes that we bought, $100 a piece, but they don't have radios and any of that stuff. You got to bring your own. If you have the radios and the batteries and all that stuff, then you're up around $300 or $400. So that's the problem. And then somebody just starting into it, they're not going to want to throw that kind of money at. They're going to want to know somebody that can help them get into that, and they go to the airfield and get an appreciation for what that is for somebody that's just getting introduced to it.
Now I have to have a license to fly those?
It used to be optional. You'd have an AMA, Academy of Model Aeronautics license, which gave you insurance and the ability to fly at sanctioned fields. But now the FAA is saying that's not enough. You got to have one of our, well, a couple, three of our licenses as well, right? Either, you know, a hobbyist license or a commercial license or just a registration, right? So, yeah, there's a lot more to it than there used to be.
I heard y'all talking about that before. I listen a lot on the radio and just kind of monitor and retain that information.
Thing while I'm programming. I listen a lot. Unless it gets really deep and I get, you know, up against a brick wall and I have to plow through it, then I turn the volume down and plow through it. And then when it lightens up, I turn it back up and start listening again. Anyway, I'm at the home, house. Be safe out there, Patrick. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
Good talking to you this morning, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.